This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Believe it or not, we are about halfway through the summer, alhamdulillah. And we know that one of the things that tends to happen during the summer season are weddings, mashallah. And it's wonderful to see so many of our brothers and sisters, you know, getting married or looking to get married. This is a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something which is highly virtuous and highly encouraged, especially if it is done with the right intentions. And as you probably know, our deen, our religion, places great importance on the family and family bonds. Because the family is the building block of society. And if the family is healthy and the home is healthy, then inshallah, the community will become healthy. And once the community is healthy, then society will become healthy as well. Bismillahi ta'ala. Now we have probably heard about virtues and guidance, you know, regarding the conduct of spouses with each other and the parents and the children and grandparents and so on. So I'm not going to go into that and repeat those today. But the reality is, my brothers and sisters, is that as, you know, we see new couples, new families forming, mashallah, we also see rapidly escalating and growing challenges as well, right? So this is a reality that those who are on the front lines observe almost every day in our communities, that as the family number of families and marriages grows, as the community grows, then the number of challenges and number of cases of, you know, homes and families where there are struggles and challenges are also increasing as well for various reasons. So, inshallah, today I'd like to share some tips to avoid feuds within families. Now, the home is meant to be not just a place of physical shelter, but rather the home is meant to be a place of sukoon, of peace, of tranquility. And when that happens, when the home is truly a home in a true sense, then there are a multitude of benefits that occur as a result. And when that peace and tranquility is lacking, when it is missing for whatever reason inside the home, then there can be many spin-off effects, many side effects, and many harms as well. Now you see, family, I like to think of families as teams, right? If even one player is out of line, then it affects everyone. And ultimately, it affects the success of the team. There are lots of benefits, and you know, research proves this as well, that there are many benefits for ourselves to be part of a team of family members, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And there are benefits, of course, as I said, for society as well. But it requires sacrifice from everyone. Just like if you're on a sports team, you know, you can't be a member of the team and say that I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm going to show up for practice when I feel like it. Okay, I don't want to listen to the coach. Okay, I know what I'm doing. Okay, nobody should tell me what to do. You can't be a successful team player, and you can't have a team that succeeds if the players on the team have that type of attitude. Right, so that means that we have to sacrifice, right? Being a part of a team means that if you want the team to succeed, we need to be making personal sacrifices. And sometimes those sacrifices, you know, may not be very pleasant, right? Sometimes we have to give up what we feel like doing, right? Sometimes we have to make compromises. Sometimes we have to do things for others, right? To support other team members. We have to give up, you know, our desires. We have to give up our choices sometimes, or we have to compromise upon them. So it requires sacrifice from everyone. We must also remember, my brothers and sisters, that our individual choices and responses to situations have an impact on the state of our family, right? So we may think that, you know what, I'm making a choice, a decision that's for myself. And it primarily, I think it affects me alone. But the reality is that, you know, our health affects the well-being of our family. Our level of stress affects our family. Our level or state of spirituality has an impact on the rest of the family. Our mental state has an effect on our family. The activities that we choose to do will have direct or indirect effects and impacts upon our family as well. Now, what is surprising, subhanAllah, is that so many of our brothers and sisters, right, so many of us, know and we even practice and we talk about so much about, you know, good character and morals, you know, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, with our friends, with strangers. But, subhanAllah, so many times it's a completely different story at home, right? It's like when we enter the door, we leave all those good teachings, we check them out, we leave them at the door, and then we enter as a completely different person. Right. So let us keep in mind, and this is a reminder for myself and all of us, that all the teachings regarding good conduct, regarding good character, they apply to family members and our spouses as well, meaning our conduct towards them as well. Now, because we are human beings, we are not angels, and we live in this world, we don't live in Jannah, we don't live in paradise, two things are practically guaranteed, okay, and they're not pleasant. Number one, that mistakes will be made. If you're aiming to be in a relationship, in a marriage, in a family, in a home where no mistakes will be made, you're in the wrong place, right? Because that's only going to happen in Jannah. That's not going to happen in this dunya, okay? Number one. And number two, there will be disagreements and disputes, right? Because we are, you know, we are dealing with human beings, we're not angels, and we're living in the dunya, which is not Jannah. But how we respond often determines how the situation ends up, right? So it's not the fact that there will be, you know, not, it's not a question about, you know, about whether, you know, mistakes will be made or whether there will be disagreements, right? But the question is rather about how we choose to respond to those differences, to those situations. Now, before I get into the tips, a disclaimer that, you know, there is absolutely no justification for abuse, for oppression. So if the situation is at that point, then maybe these tips may not apply, and you probably seriously should get help. So here are a few factors that can prevent family feuds and improve relationships within families. Number one, my brothers and sisters, is to express gratitude, compassion, and love, right? Not just to feel it, but to express it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind and loving, right, to his children, to his wives. And let us know also that people express love differently. And this is actually very important, right? Because sometimes we find that family members are on different frequencies. So they actually have similar sentiments. They have good, positive sentiments. But it's not coming across to the other person. So the most common ways, the experts say, of expressing love are five. So words of affirmation. So actually to say it with words, to express it with words. But also to spend quality time. Or acts of service, to do khidmah, to serve, physical touch, and the giving of gifts. So these are different ways. These are different ways that love can be expressed. And it could be that one member of the family is expressing it in one way, but the other or others are not reading, are not understanding those expressions of love because they are expecting a different form of expression. But rather, the sentiments are the same, actually, but it's just not coming across because the way of communicating that love, that care, that compassion, and that gratitude is different. Thanking others is a teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, as believers, we're taught to be grateful servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also famously said that لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس, that whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has not properly thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps one of the wisdoms is that when we get into the habit of thanking people, it builds our habit of expressing thanks, and we will also then express thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes us more grateful. Yes? So expressing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also expressing thanks to the people who are in our lives. Smiling, we know oftentimes we say it's sunnah, it's charity, right? But the question is, when was the last time that we smiled to our family members? smile to one another. We meet one another, friends, coworkers, colleagues, neighbors, strangers. Hi, how are you? You know, real smile, fake smile, whatever it is, but at least it's a smile, right? So when you go into the home, let us try to go with a smile as well. Try to find opportunities to share smiles and laughs with our family members. So that's number one. Number two, my brothers and sisters, is to be easygoing and kind towards one another, right? Not always be, you know, sometimes there may be situations, but not always be, you know, uptight and demanding and rude and stern, you know, like, you know, I don't know, like you're some kind of dictator and like you're trying to maintain, you know, authority and control, you know, in your kingdom. And this could apply to the husband or the wife or whoever, right? So being easygoing and kind towards one another, not being uptight and demanding and stern and rude. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man kana layyinan hayyinan sahlan harramahu Allahu 'ala an-nar. That whoever is kind, affable, and easygoing, Allah will forbid him from entering the hellfire, forbid him or her from entering the hellfire. Right? So these are qualities which are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be kind, to be affable, and to be easygoing. And not does not mean easygoing towards your own responsibilities, right? So you have responsibilities and say, no, Imam said, you know, we should be easygoing, so I'm going to take it easy. That's not the point, right? The point is with regards to others, right? Towards, when it comes to others, you know, we are easygoing, affable, and kind towards them. So that's number two. Just not always, you know, being in a like heightened state of like, of, I don't know, you know, like alertness and just like it's having like super high expectations of everyone and expecting perfection, but just chill, you know, essentially just chill out a bit. Number three, gentleness. Because Aisha radiallahu anha relates famously from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. That verily gentleness is not found in anything except that it beautifies it, and it is not removed from anything except that it disgraces it. So gentleness is this beautiful but also, you know, critical quality. If it goes into something, it's going to make it beautiful. And if it's taken out, what is it going to do? It's going to disgrace it, right? It's going to make it bad. So, for example, something needs to be said, something needs to be done. You know, it doesn't have to be harsh. You know, we can all try to say things in a nicer way. Now, we can understand sometimes, you know, our emotions get the best of us. We're under stress, we're frustrated, we're angry. But always, let's try to take a step back and think about what are we trying to achieve and what is the best way of achieving that. You know, what is the best thing I can say? What is the best thing you can say that will help in facilitating that goal and trying to get your point across? So gentleness in everything that we try to do, even the way we handle people, we touch, you know, children, we carry babies, you know, just the way we carry ourselves. Let us try to just slow down and try to be gentle with someone, you know, just sincerely apologizing and showing remorse. That can go a long way. You know, sometimes we may continue to argue, and this may be a bad habit. So, you know, if it exists, we should try to seek help in overcoming it so that, you know, we don't continue doing that, right? Just stop. Someone's offended. Something was wrong, even though we don't get it. We don't think it was wrong, but somebody was offended or hurt by something that we said or did. Simply apologize and recognize that, okay, that was hurtful. Number five, my brothers and sisters, is a very important one that has to do with anger. Because you see, some situations can lead to anger, right? It happens. But we need to keep that anger in check, right? The advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the companion who came and asked, you know, advise me, he said, la taghdab, right? Do not get angry. You know, and it is said that some are swift to anger and swift to cool down. The one characteristic making up for the other, right? So they're swift to anger, but then they also cool down quickly. Some are slow to anger, but then slow to cool down. The one characteristic making up for the other, right? So they don't get angry right away, but when they do, then it takes them a long time to get over it. So once again, the one characteristic makes up for the other. But it said the best of you are those who are slow to anger and swift to cool down. Right? So that is what we should try to develop, that it takes a lot to make us upset. And when we do get upset, then we are quick to cool down. And it's said that the worst of you are those who are swift to anger and slow to cool down. So you get angry fast over little things, very quickly, right? And then it takes forever for you to cool down and to get over it. So that is the characteristic we want to avoid. And the characteristics we want to build is that it takes us a long time to get upset and angry. And when we do get upset, then we cool down quickly, And we can all work on that, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding the believers, regarding the people of taqwa and the good believers, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That they are those who donate in prosperity and adversity, and they control their anger, and they pardon others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions these characteristics and these qualities in the Quran. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the good doers. My brothers and sisters, especially my brothers, be very careful with the words of divorce. This is a very, very serious issue. Right? If you find in your lingo, in your regular conversations, regularly happening day to day, that you're mentioning the words of talaq, you're mentioning the words of divorce, this is a serious problem, wallahi. Like, you need to address this ASAP, as soon as possible. This should not be happening. The word of talaq, the word of divorce, should be a major thick red line that you never endeavor to cross except when you have thought it through and you've talked to someone and you are in your senses. You know, too many times we find this situation. You know, a couple comes and says, okay, what happened? Oh, well, the words of talaq have been mentioned like I don't know how many times. I mentioned this before previously, a few weeks ago, I think. Right, so please be very, very careful. This word should not be in your vocabulary unless you have thought about it and you are ready to accept its consequences. Right? Otherwise, it can have very, very serious implications for you, your family, your well-being. Please, please, please do not play with this word and do not take it lightly. And you find that it's happening, then you absolutely need to get help. Okay? Because it should not be happening. And let that be clear, please. And I say this out of care and concern for you and your well-being and for your family. Number six, my brothers and sisters, is to turn anger into support. Now, what do I mean by that? See, it's natural to become angry, something that's bad or, you know, annoying traits. But that's not going to get results, right? Somebody does something, you get angry, right? Whoever it is, husband, wife, whoever, right? Shouts, gets angry, you know, yells. But it's not going to help solve the problem, right? If it was going to solve the problem, it would have been solved like a long time ago, right? The first time that you shouted and yelled, right? But it's not productive. It doesn't lead to any good result. So a better way is to try to help the family member recognize their problem with compassion, you know, then support them in overcoming the struggle, right? Because yes, maybe there is a problem, right? Like, everyone's going to have some issues, okay? But if you work as a team to try to lift each other up, and try to get that person to succeed and overcome that challenge, then everyone succeeds. Because once again, it's a team. Number seven, be giving by forgiving and overlooking mistakes. And I know that this is easier said than done. No one can be forced to forgive, by the way. You know, sometimes I hear people said, okay, I have apologized, now you must forgive me. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. That, okay, you said, I'm sorry, I apologize, now you must forgive me. No, it's not something that you can force. Right? You have to win a person's heart and bring them to the point where they're ready to forgive. But yes, we have been given much encouragement to forgive and pardon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love to be forgiven by Allah? And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So yes, we are encouraged to forgive and we should forgive. But you cannot force someone to forgive. Yes, it's got to come from within themselves. And there is, like I said, much encouragement in the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ to forgive. Shaitan is playing with the waswas and is trying to put doubts, you know, about one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ. Believers, avoid being excessively suspicious. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. You know, for some suspicion is a sin, and do not spy nor backbite one another. Yes? So this suspicion about others, because sometimes I actually see, you know, I see in families and situations where, you know, there's actually, like, there's actually nothing happening. Okay, there's actually nothing. Like in essence, there's nothing wrong happening, but it's this doubts and suspicions that have grown. And sometimes it's because of actions that lead to erosion of trust. So we have to be careful about maintaining trust as well. But don't let shaitan eat into your home and your peace and your relationships because of baseless doubts. You know, yes, if you see a pattern of behavior and there's real evidence, then don't be gullible either. Seek advice, get help, but try to fight negative thoughts about suspicions unless there is some actual evidence. Now, unless you actually have some evidence that you really know clearly that something is happening, you found something. Other than that, you know, don't always be in a state of doubt and suspicion, because it's just going to eat up your peace of mind, and it's going to eat up your relationships as well. Also know that, you know, sometimes stress, anxiety, mental health struggles, which are very real, can lead people to behave in ways that they normally don't. And it's very challenging, I accept it. It's very, very challenging. Because you have a family member who's struggling through mental health challenges. They say and they do things which may be offensive or which may be annoying, but they're not actually, that's not them. They're doing that because of their illness or because of their struggle. Physical illness, you can see. If somebody is hurt, you can see that they have a cut, they have an injury, they have a broken arm, you know, they have whatever, you know, whatever injury they have or sickness that they have. But when it comes to mental health challenges, it's very hard to tell sometimes. Right? So you think that this person is behaving this way and you're fed up and you're frustrated. But in reality, they themselves are actually a victim as well, because they are, you know, going through this illness which is not really visible, which cannot be seen. Quickly now, have a process for resolving disagreements. You know, understand the other person's position, try to validate their feelings, try to explain yours calmly, try to find compromise and seek help. You know, the Sahaba used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would accept his advice and decision. So have people that you as a family, you look up to and you respect, and that you can go to for advice and for help when you need it. And finally, my brothers and sisters, look for positives. Try to push away the negatives. No one is perfect. And if you try to look for faults, that is all what you're going to see. So train yourself to try to look for the positives. Positive thinking, try to appreciate even little things, and try to encourage and uplift. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنْ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. If you dislike them in any manner, it may be that you dislike something in which Allah has placed much good for you. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the men, but it applies both ways. If you dislike your partner, your spouse in some way, it may be that you dislike something in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed much good for you. Maybe there is khayr for you in this relationship. There is khayr for you in this person. Most importantly, be a person of taqwa, especially in your relation to your actions towards others. And that will also encourage your family members to also adapt the path of taqwa towards others, including you. Finally, my brothers and sisters, know that each position in the family has something that they naturally crave. Each position in the family has something that they naturally crave. And our deen teaches us to give it to them. So for example, children, what do they crave? Mercy and loving care. That is what children are looking for most. Youth, what are they looking for? They're looking for freedom with support. The wife, the mother, what is she looking for? Attention and love. The husband, the father, what is he looking for? Respect and loyalty. The grandparents, what are they looking for? Respect and kindness. So if you give each member of the family what they are naturally craving, you will see many problems melt away, inshallah. And if you follow the Quran, the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what they are teaching us to do. They're not teaching us to treat every single member of the family in the same way. Paint them all with the same brush, treat them exactly the same way. No, your approach has to be different for each member of the family, because each one has different needs, psychologically as well, in other ways, and each one is looking for something different that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed them with. So if we give them that, you will see that many of the issues will go away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all the homes and families in our community and beyond. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove misunderstanding and hardships and replace them with love, unity, and understanding. Allahumma ameen. Let's take a break, inshallah, and we will continue.